Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And you know, in this media landscape where everyone's been trying to burst out of their bubbles, get away from the coasts, get into the country a little bit, comedian Todd Barry says maybe everyone in the media got the idea from him.
I'm the reason they say that when you hear that. It's because they saw my tour dates.
Well, if he sounds familiar there, you might know Todd Barry from The Conan O'Brien Show or Louie, or as a character actor in films like The Wrestler or shows like Flight of the Conchords, and of course, his stand-up act.
You ever make plans with someone you do not want to hang out with, and then they cancel? Wow. That is about as joyous as life gets.
This woman actually said, and I quote, "I like Coke. I hate Pepsi with a passion." And it made me very sad for her. Because her body is telling her that she hates something that tastes exactly like something she loves.
Todd Barry's been a veteran of the comedy scene for a long time, but over the last year, he's been trying to do less of the Madison Square Garden thing and instead travel to smaller towns and cities, the so-called secondary markets, places like Asheville, North Carolina, or Little Rock, Arkansas, Portland, Maine, or upstate New York. He got a good sense of what those places were about and what his act was all about in the context of those audiences. Todd Barry writes about all those experiences in the towns and their comedy clubs across America in his new book. It's called Thank You for Coming to Hattiesburg.
I'll play anywhere. I like playing anywhere, but I've always found it's kind of exciting to go to a city that you never would have thought of going to, like, you know, Toledo or something, and finding the good there and the fun. And you know, you don't always find fun, but I'm also not very fun, so that works out usually.
Well, what do you find to love about secondary markets? It's kind of pejorative, but you find something there to love that you hate about playing in big cities?
It's not that they're better. It's just that they are actually good. And like the title comes from a phenomenon that happens. I first noticed when I played Fairbanks, Alaska, where people will just thank you for just actually showing up there. Like you do a show in Chicago, they don't go, "I can't believe you came to Chicago to do a
right.
show." But if you go to Fairbanks or Hattiesburg or, you know, Little Rock, they might be a little surprised because it's not like everyone's pouring through Little Rock.
Which one of these places kind of captured your comedian's heart?
Well, I did a show in Missoula, Montana, and you just get kind of crazy things that happen that aren't necessarily going to happen in a bigger place. Like a guy was paying me after my show in Missoula. I looked at the figures and it was like he was drunk and the money didn't seem right. And I go, "This doesn't seem right." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, as the show progressed, I started cutting deals." So that's it's like,
what?
He's just like, I'm cutting deals. Like, it's just people like, "Hey, it's a $12 cover. What do you think? Nine? Yeah, okay, let's do that." And it was just kind of offensive, but it's so wrong that it's hilarious.
That just means that all the people in Missoula know that this guy's a soft target.
Right.
That he's a mark, that if you wait long enough to go to the door,
right,
you get 75% off.
He does the eBay route. It's just it's a bidding thing. I've had more than one falling down drunk person paying me. And it always cracks me up because, I mean, it makes me angry at the time, but I think they justify going, "Hey, it's, you know, I'm working in a bar, so, you know, there's alcohol there." And it's like, well, you go to a liquor store and it's not like the salesman's drunk. It's weird because you could show up one place and they're just completely like welcoming and there's all this stuff spread out. Then there's others where you're like, "Did you know that I was coming here tonight?" Like that place in Missoula, there was like Taco Bell wrappers in a storage room, and that was my quote-unquote dressing room. And I asked for a bottle of water, and it was just, you'd think I'd ask for, like, some cookie that you can only get in Sweden or something, because they're like, water. Yeah, I feel like someone must have asked you for water at some point in your promoting career. But
then again, maybe not. Maybe it's just a function of a Dixie cup and a faucet. I mean,
right.
That's what it should be.
I mean, the guy actually, at some point after going on a search for water, had a bottle of water that he's been drinking, and he kind of waved it at me. "Hey, you want this?" "No, I think I'll find another source."
So I'm really curious. You know, you've been on the stage at Madison Square Garden. You've opened for Louis C.K. in front of something like 14,000 or 15,000 people.
Uh-huh.
Is there a joke that works at Madison Square Garden that just doesn't work in Hattiesburg? Have you experienced that?
When you do something like Madison Square Garden, like I don't have a lot of experience playing that size place, you kind of keep it a little bit tighter just because there's not a lot of time to just meander if I'm headlining. But also, I mean, what it does do, and it did the experience did help me is that it's always a funny point of reference to go, you know, 3 nights ago I was on stage at Madison Square Garden and tonight I'm at Juanita's Cantina in Little Rock. And
right.
Just to see the difference. But it's also interesting because it was almost like it's, on some level it's easier to play to 14,000 people than it is sometimes to play to a small crowd.
I mean, is comedy, I don't know if scarier is the right word, but is it harder, you know, when you can see the whites of their eyes?
I like to face the enemy, as I like to say it. But, like, I know, like, Louis likes to perform pitch black, not see anyone. I always have them, if I can, raise the house lights up a bit so I can see them. I feel more connected to them. It seems counterintuitive because it seems like it'd be more scary to see them.
Yeah.
But if you see a couple of people smile and that sort of goes, okay, well, this is might be going well.
Has your act changed since November and the election? I mean, we have this conceit, right, that everybody wants to get out of the East Coast, get off the edges of the country, get into the heartland where real Americans are, and you've done that. Is that a real thing? Has your act changed or your outlook changed since November?
I mean, I'm not a dumb guy, but I'm also not a great political mind. So I kind of I've always steered clear of that kind of joke. So it hasn't really, you know, it affects my conversations with people off stage. It hasn't really changed what I talk about on stage, unfortunately. I'm not very deep is what I'm saying.
Elections happen, political revolutions, you know, still jokes about flying, basically, the red eye.
I mean, yeah, it's just, we need that too in this world.
All right. Well, forget about politics. I mean, we all want to be heard, and you've gone to what are called secondary markets, smaller cities. You've been heard. You've been appreciated there. The media is dying to do this, right? They're dying to get heard and trusted in places like Hattiesburg. You have any advice?
One thing I talk about a number of times in the book is people's perceptions of these kind of markets. Like I mentioned this, that I on Facebook I posted that I was doing a show in Little Rock and someone wrote, well, that's a tough crowd for your sharp wit. And it's like, the show hasn't even happened yet. How do you know it's a tough crowd? It's like, you already know it's going to be a tough – I don't know it's going to be a tough crowd. But this Facebook friend of mine does. It's just a perception that it's going to be, you know, just rednecks or something. And it's just not true. And there's people everywhere and there's public radio everywhere. And even if you go to a red state, there's still enough – you know, progressive people to show up and be cool.
Well, before I let you go, Todd Barry, I need a little bit of personal therapy. This is a point
This is
a point of personal privilege.
That's going to get good now.
From one Todd to another, do you hate it? I got to be honest. I hate my name, and I have told my parents this, that Todd has wound up being the name of every annoying, way too rich, way too white villain in every movie, and it's Todd.
And I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd.
Hi, girls.
Whoa, it's Todd.
Who's that with them? That's not you, that's Todd.
Are you with me on this?
I would say, if this makes you feel better, I feel like Chad is probably more lampoon name than Todd.
I'm not saying it can't get worse.
Or Skyler or Tyler or
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's a solid name, don't you think? It's just kind of. Or you could change it. What's your middle name?
See, that's the thing. I don't have one.
You don't have a middle name?
And I'm hanging out to dry. No, I don't even have a go-to for a middle name.
Oh my God!
I'd have to get completely original.
Then get one of those baby name books and have at it.
And have at it. I'll get back to you on that. Todd Barry, my fellow Todd, who apparently does not labor at all under the tyranny of his name, is author of Thank You for Coming to Hattiesburg. Todd Barry, it's been a great pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.